This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James from World Ag Expo, Tulare, California. Our special guest today is Kurt Covington with Ag America Lending. We're talking about transition planning in just a few moments. First off, let's roll the clock back to last week, Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show in Houston, where the CEO of Cattle Facts, Randy Block, spoke.
You were seeing the discussion with what's going on with the Ukrainian situation. Hey, what are we going to do? The U.S. is over there. Europe is over there. You can see the situation. Russia is the number two largest crude oil producer on the planet. 48% of the Russian oil exports and 72% of the Russian natural gas exports flow into Europe. You think that might add a little more volatility in here over the next several weeks, over the next several months, depending on how this unfolds? Absolutely. That is a big, big number and something I think you want to keep in.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Kurt Covington. Kurt's with Ag America Lending out of Florida. Great to see you.
Nice to see you, too, as well.
Well, is it this nice back home? We're at World Ag Expo in Tulare, California. Temperatures in the 70s.
Yeah, you know, the difference between here and Florida is the humidity in the summer. But this isn't the most pleasant place to be in the summer.
You've nailed it on the head there. Again, at World Ag Expo, and you just stepped off the stage talking transition planning, but maybe the first place to start is identifying what is transition planning.
Sure. So I think there's some misconceptions out there, and the first is somehow that succession transition planning is the same thing as estate planning. Those are two totally different issues, right? Estate planning talks about who gets what, when, where, and how, right? It's like how the pie is divvied up. I'm talking about who's going to be running this business when the matriarch, patriarch, or the family members that are currently in charge decide it's time for them to pass the torch to the next generation, or perhaps to somebody outside the business. We always think that somehow farming operations, it's a transition amongst family members. More often, we're seeing that sometimes it's somebody outside the business.
So, I think that brings the next question in, and you identified three types of transitions, if you will. The first one, though, is probably not the way you want to do it.
Yeah. So, I indicate that there are three, right? There's, as I fondly refer to it, as the hit by the bus transition. There's the state planning transition, and then there's succession planning, one we focused on here today. You know, the hit by the bus transition, no one likes to think about it, right? Where, you know, maybe something suddenly happens to the decision maker in the business, right? And the question that has to be asked in a situation like that, if in fact that happened and that person has the keys to everything in that business, is that a good thing? And we've seen a number of cases where something happens, right? So there's a tractor accident, incapacitation, whatever the case might be. And all of a sudden we find out there actually isn't anyone in that business. And they may have been there a long time and they are maybe very close family members. Don't really have the key to the safe, so to speak, right? And don't know, maybe just simple things, where the checkbook is, you know, how to get into the computer system, who our suppliers are, who we're dealing with, who do we need to talk to in this particular case. That's a challenging situation. And right, and that just requires basically just a list of directives as in terms of what's going to happen if something just, whether it's temporary or long term, how do I deal with carrying on the business day to day? Estate planning, as I said, is more about, you know, I've got assets in this business. How is that going to get transferred? Who does it get transferred to? Under what legal ownership? Who's gonna benefit from this? Is it going to be done on an equal basis or a fair basis, which is a whole discussion we have today. I'm not a big believer in equal. I think fair transition, particularly if there's sweat equity of family members in the business. But again, I leave that to the lawyers. I leave that to the CPAs. I leave that to the experts who know the law and know the tax code. What I'm talking about when I spent time today was the succession. What is, you know, who is going to be running this business when I'm ready to retire? When I'm ready to hang up the tennis shoes or the cowboy hat? Who is going to be running this business? And I think there are a lot of mistakes made in this area. And I won't cover them all, but I'll cover what I think are some really the most important ones. One of the biggest mistakes I see, and having been an ag lender for 40 years, is somehow assuming that the person you've chosen to run this business actually wants to be there.
That is a great one. But, and does this tie into it as well? Just getting to the point of having this discussion, is that also an issue, a problem that we have? Because for many, it's uncomfortable.
Oh, first of all, it's a very sensitive issue, and maybe people don't want to hear the answer. You know, there's this feeling amongst kids coming back into the business that somehow they feel obligated, right? That they've worked on the family farm all the way from the time they, you know, were kids to today, and maybe they've gone away to ag school, or maybe they've, you know, whatever, they've been in the business now maybe for 10, 15 years. And honestly, and I shared this today, you know, there are so many outside interests that the younger generation is influenced by. It's really a good question to have. Do you really want to be here? And it's a tough question to ask, but it's the most important question, because if you're having that person as your successor in mind, but they really don't want to be here, but they feel obligated to be here, that has to be dealt with. And it's a sensitive matter, but I think everybody in the end would appreciate the answer to that question.
Is it important for us to address this from, I'd say, an adult perspective, but that perspective where we have to put our feelings off to the side and just deal with it as a business decision?
Well, you raise an excellent and interesting question, and we discussed that today as well. What is that discussion feel like? What does it sound like? And where do you have those kinds of discussions, right? And I mentioned it today, probably one of the worst places to have any kind of conversations about succession and management of the business and interest in running the business and what these the younger generation sees as their role, the worst place to do that is around the kitchen table. There is a lot of emotion around the kitchen table. In fact, there's also a level of comfort. And maybe this is a time when it's okay to be uncomfortable. So where do you have it? I don't know, rural America, there's a lot of Hampton Inns. There's a lot of Holiday Inn Expresses. You know, go run a small conference room, you know, seating 8 people, and sit down and have that discussion. And you have it in a neutral place where there is, it's treated just like any other business, where you if you were a public company or you were a large business and you had hundreds of employees, you wouldn't have it around your kitchen table. So whether it's 4 or 5 kids in the business, you probably still shouldn't have it around the kitchen table.
For a lot of us in business for ourselves, you had a triangle, kind of a pyramid there, where the very top of that, the iceberg, if you would, was decisions. And then in the middle is negotiating. So we're going to spend more time negotiating things than we'll do in making decisions, but the base of that pyramid is doing. You identified a different way to approach things, maybe turning it upside down.
Yeah, so if you look at anybody on the family farm today, right, their life is kind of broken into 3 components, right? What I call doing, milking the cow, you know, running the tractor, working in the repair shop. That's the vocational piece of it, right? Which all farmers, including myself and including you probably, that's the part you enjoy. That's it's not the economic benefit. Sometimes it's the psychological and emotional benefit of that. But in today's world, with the average age of the average farmer being 62 years old, you talk about being uncomfortable. That leader of that business needs to transition away from doing all day long and, you know, still spending a good majority of their time negotiating, as I talked in there, negotiating with themselves, negotiating with suppliers, family members, who knows, negotiating with yourself is the thing that happens in the middle of the night. You wake up and say, you know, geez, should I have made that decision? But most importantly is in that form of management leaves very little time to make decisions, informed decisions, not just decisions. And right, any of us who's listening to this today could probably pinpoint someone in their life that was really horrible making decisions. And it's because they didn't go through the proper process of managing the planning and the control process of that business, right? The good business owners, as I've seen it over the years, kind of flip that pyramid over, and they still spend time doing the doing, but they have delegated that to others in the family, right? On the job training, spending time doing the things that need to get done and learning by mistake, still spending the same amount of time negotiating, but spending the majority of their time making decisions, because the younger generation of that family is looking to the leader of that family who's going to transition it to make really good, sound decisions based on good information.
So I'm guessing you used good information to not retire at some point and instead move into Ag America Lending. You've got a great background. How'd you end up with Ag America?
Well, I started in farming here in California. I had worked for a number of large agricultural banks in California and transitioned to become executive vice president, chief credit officer with Farmer Mac in Washington, D.C. So I uprooted my family, moved them to Washington, D.C., spent a good amount of time there at the age of 65. I kind of thought, well, now's the time to retire. I was in retirement for a total of 6 days, sat in my room for 6 days, realizing this is really probably not what I want to do. And so I had worked with Ag America Lending over a number of years while I was at Farmer Mac and decided, well, maybe they'll kick the old tire here and see if he can add value to the business. I like to think that I do, and I'm enjoying myself because now I get to work with farmers again, and it's really enjoyable for me. In Ag America, we have a footprint across all 50 states, and it's just a great business to be in. It's a great organization run by some very, very qualified individuals.
And if we wanted to learn more about Ag America Lending, I bet they have a website.
Don't they all? www.agamerica.com.
So great to see you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your insight and your wisdom here, because really, it's such a difficult conversation to have, but such an important.
Yeah, you know, and I appreciate that. Here's what I would say. It's easy to go talk to lawyers and accountants and say, okay, I need this done. But the reality of the matter, the hardest part of the whole thing is deciding the core values that you want in that succession plan before you go visit the accountants and the lawyers.
So good to see you. Wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Again, Kurt Covington with Ag America Lending out of Florida on today's Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Kurt Covington with Ag America Lending.
Second best isn't good enough when it comes to your tractor's performance. You know what? We know it. That's why we run Fendt tractors. One test drive can show you the difference between a great tractor and a truly exceptional machine. Ready to set up a demo? Get behind the wheel of a Fendt to experience it for yourself and see why the best run operations run Fendt. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
For 40 years, United Ag has been committed to ensuring the vitality of the ag industry. United Ag helps protect your future and the future of your workforce. Join United Ag and take advantage of up-to-date information on pending legislation and immigration reform, advocacy, health benefits, and leadership opportunities. United Ag is here to ensure your farm makes it to the next generation. Join us at www.unitedag.org. That's unitedag.org.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Kurt Covington, Ag America Lending from the World Ag Expo.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. From World Ag Expo in Tulare, California, this is the Agribusiness Report.
A resumption of potato imports from a Canadian province could occur in coming weeks, pending review by USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack earlier this week said a recent meeting with Canadian officials centered on the halt of Prince Edward Island potatoes entering both Puerto Rico and the U.S. mainland back in November due to potato wart, and what could be done to resume table stock shipments from that province.
We received information from Canada both as it relates to Puerto Rico and as it relates to the mainland. We were in the process of finalizing our review of the Puerto Rico information, and we're confident and hopeful that it confirms what we think, which is that there is negligible risk in Puerto Rico in terms of limited risk relative to table stocks.
He adds there is no timeline to determine reentry of PEI table stock potatoes to the U.S. mainland, yet consideration will be given to resolve that particular issue as quickly as possible. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.